Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Behind the Sounds. Today I'm so excited to be joined by Tyler Halverson, an up-and-coming artist who is making waves in the country and Americana scene. He has recently got his passport, which means one thing and one thing only, that he is heading over to the UK for Country to Country this coming weekend. Tyler has multiple sets over the weekend and his story is epic, so make sure you check out the episode now and catch one of his sets in London this weekend. As always, don't forget to like, rate and subscribe, and I really hope you enjoy. Tyler, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm very, very well, thank you. I know you have been out on the road. You've been super busy. You are going back out on the road. So much going on in your world at the moment.
We stay on the road.
Does it ever feel like you are ever home nowadays?
Some days I wonder why I rent a house. Yeah.
It's a waste of money at this point, right?
It is, yeah. It just all goes to hotels and van payments anyways. I don't know why I rent this thing.
Do you get to relax when you are home, or are you kind of always like waiting and ready for the next thing?
I mean, I think they'll give me a day or two here and there, but a lot of it's, I mean, you're on the road Thursday through Sunday, and then you're writing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is what a lot of it is. So, I mean, it's a hustle, but I think it's definitely going the right direction. So we just got to keep going at it.
I love that. And you've been, as you say, you've kind of been everywhere. You've been opening acts, you've been playing your own shows. Have you had a bit of a preference as to what you've loved doing over the last few months?
Oh, I mean, I definitely like our own shows. It's fun to go open up for 3,000 people in front of some band, but nothing beats even 300 people of your own, you know, your own fans singing your songs back, and those people at the merch line. Like, I think that's what, I don't know, fills my cup up more than anything is that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, well, seeing how that's evolved over the years, right? From them first venues, and I know you've
Yeah.
beer tents and things like that, going into these bigger venues, does it always feel quite wild the more venues you go to and the bigger the crowds?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the energy just gets better. You know, the more people, the more energy. And it's also fun too, going into a crowd that's not necessarily yours, but you still recognize little pockets of people out there that are singing along and that are still coming back and saying hi at the merch table. And I don't know, it's just it's a blessing. It all feels good.
I love that. And I know you've been musically kind of, your whole world has been musical and your whole life, it seems. You started music at a very, very young age. I know you're from quite a small town, and my favorite thing to know about people is, what's your first memory of music, whether that be hearing it or playing it?
Ooh.
What do you first remember?
I think I remember my dad just obnoxiously singing along to the radio all the time growing up as a kid. Like, my parents were diehard 90s country music fans and hardcore concert goers, and that was just kind of a thing. Music was always there, whether it was somebody was playing it or it was on the radio, just surrounded by it at all times.
How old were you when you went to your first concert, which I'm assuming your parents took you to?
Yeah, I was probably like 4 or 5 years old, and we were showing cattle in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And this guy hands me a concert ticket for Montgomery and Gentry as I'm walking my little heifer calf out. And I quickly go tie her up and I sprint back to the guy. And I was like, hey, man, like, I can't go by myself. Can I get two more for my parents? So I took him to Montgomery Gentry that night. And that was my first, like, actual big country concert.
Love that. And you took them, not the
Yeah,
other one.
exactly. I want to recognize that it was me.
How amazing.
I didn't buy the cotton candy, but I had the tickets, you know.
Of course. You can't do that anymore. Buying tickets
No.
is sport nowadays.
Yeah, I held up my end of the deal.
I love that. And did your parents were your parents musical, other than, as you say, like singing along to the radio? Could they carry a tune?
Like, my dad would be in the church choirs and whatnot and always had us and those growing up, but like nothing too crazy musical. I remember one of my uncles had a guitar and I was just infatuated with that and just listening to him play. And my grandpa played a little guitar before too, but there wasn't like a whole, I wasn't really surrounded by the live music so much like at home. It was just kind of like my parents knew that that's what I was into and that's what they kind of catered to.
Yeah. When did you first pick up a guitar?
I was 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 10 years old and took lessons for a couple of years and then started playing in some like little church bands and trying to do my own little jams around town. And yeah, that's kind of how that grew.
Yeah. And was there there a moment in your life, maybe it's as in your teenage years or even younger, where you were like, oh, okay, this is what I want to do. I could be quite good at this. I know the feeling, I know the vibe. This is what I want to do
Yeah.
in my life.
Man, I think it's probably just like I was kind of a little concert junkie growing up too. So I think it was just always that feeling after shows, like that connection that someone just had on stage for 90 minutes with these strangers. I was like, that's pretty addicting, and I could see myself really liking that.
Yeah. And I think as well, so you talk about kind of going into them concerts. So many people will go to concerts and leave and not really think about it. Were you the sort of person, because I'm like this, I kind of go off and I want to know everything about that concert. I want to know the
Yeah.
they did everything. Did you kind of analyze them when you left?
Yeah, I kind of like, I think as you like, especially as I got into music, like trying to play it out and play around shows, whatnot, like you definitely kind of strip down, like you recognize who has cool production here. I like what they did with the lights there. I like this transition, things like that. But I think even from a more innocent start on it, like I just remember, like, I mean, that was like a high. That shit was a high, basically, coming out of a concert. And, you know, I think that's where it all started. But then you can definitely break it down into more things as you get into it.
Yeah. And knowing that that was what you wanted to do, how do you then go about realizing you're good at it? Because I think music and country music in particular nowadays, there's so much breadth to what is good,
Yeah.
what sounds good. How did you know kind of what style you wanted to play and that that was kind of going to be good enough?
I think I don't know. I think it just took like the that's all came together. I've been in Nashville in and out for about 10 years now, and I feel like I finally found my sound and what I'm trying to do about 4 or 5 years ago. And it took putting a song out and touring all over Texas and seeing people like that and receiving it well. It took that. It took people liking it for me to kind of prove to myself, like, oh, all right, this has a crowd, this has a space, you know, it's supposed to be somewhere, is what that was.
Yeah, and you, am I right in saying you initially moved to Nashville for college and you went to Belmont and that was your
Yeah.
start in Nashville? And I
Yeah.
find in doing this podcast, I feel I've spoken to so many people that are kind of Belmont alumni and then so many people who just made the move and were like, oh, just see what happens. Do you think having that experience at college and being surrounded by people with probably very similar goals and aspirations, do you think that really helped you when you first made the move?
Yeah, I think so. It was definitely my ticket down here. It was kind of my excuse to my parents, like, hey, look, I'm gonna go try this music thing, but I'm still going to college, you know. It was that in between the spot. And I think also too, that place was just great for it was a mini Nashville before Nashville. I mean, it had its community of writers, producers, artists, managers, things like that. So it was kind of cool to navigate that world before hopping into what is actually going on. And then all the while being there, you know, making your own connections from shitty little jobs you worked, and these people write too, so you got together and made some friends, you know, it was a good place for kind of growing all that.
Yeah. And I think, as you say, kind of being surrounded by those people as well. Had you, by this point before moving, had you had the experience of collaborating on your music and writing with others before you moved?
A little bit. There wasn't near as much the community as I had before moving here. But there was a gentleman in town that used to write in Nashville that were kind of family friends and I got connected with. So I had a little bit of a, like, I don't know, a little look at what it would be like being able to write with people, but nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find a lot of, again, hearing stories across the years of songwriters, people seem to have a bit of shock sometimes when they first go into a writing session that someone else has actually got an opinion on their
Oh
work.
yeah.
Did
I
you
mean, it
have
definitely it's an interesting world, I feel like, because the people have a lot of pride in their thoughts and their songs, and as they should. And then when you get somebody that's sitting over there shooting at it and questioning that, like, you can take it, you know, constructive, or you can take it as, you know, some criticism. But there's no between, and you kind of have to learn how to just roll with that and shoot at it and just try to make it better. I mean, that's why people are saying anything in the first place, is they just want the song better.
And of course, that then alludes into the fans, right? And the critique that you put
Yeah.
yourself out there to have your music critiqued. I think anyone that releases any music, you're not going to expect 100% of people to love it. There's always going to be
No.
critique. So I know after
No.
the college, you traveled a lot, and as you were saying previously, going out and playing all these shows and meeting all these people was how you found your sound. But did you,
Yeah.
is a lot of that coming from what the fans were receptive to, and even like critics and people that were potentially giving you critique, or of course those things that they loved? Did you feel a lot of it came from that?
I think it definitely, yeah, it all definitely came from running around on the road and seeing what's working and what's not. It wasn't we're gonna try this song on TikTok and see if this one goes compared to the next one. It was live in front of people, and whatever got the applause at the end, that's what won, you know. There's plenty of songs I played to empty rooms and people didn't give a shit about, but you kind of let those ones go, you know.
You
Move
did.
on to the next.
But there must be an element as well of some of the songs that you don't care what people think, right?
Absolutely. I think that you have, I think especially as an artist and a writer, you're always walking that line of like giving people what they want and giving them what you want, you know. But there's a lot of songs that I have that mean more to me than probably the average fan, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course, that makes total sense. And like you say, you can play a song to very little people who won't care, but you also had this experience of playing to millions of people via social media. You were
Yeah.
on social media, and that, I think, is the beauty of social media, is it opens it up to so many people who maybe can't
Totally.
see you in a room. So was that quite a kind of good ego boost, I suppose, in a way, that you could get your music out quicker? I think obviously that's been a real shift of the last few years in the music industry, is that we're hearing these songs that,
Yeah.
famous on TikTok before they're released. So did you find that really helped you and kind of gave you a bit of a boost into the next stage of your career?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. Me and social media fight sometimes.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I'm my goal in life is to have a phone on the wall. I
Love
need a
that.
landline again. But I definitely think like there's tools. I mean, it's definitely helped to get our message out there and get our songs and things like that, but I've been, I think that's something of me that I'm trying to work on, I guess, is the social media side of things.
I know, if you
Yeah.
have to tick a box sometimes, don't you, with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I'm not sure. Like I haven't found how, I haven't found that space quite yet. I guess a rhythm for it.
Yeah. So what do you think gave you, because of course you released independently at first when you first started
Yep.
music. What do you think, you always had that confidence in you to be like, no, I know I can put these songs out into the world. I'm confident in myself and doing this. Or do you think
Yeah.
the things you were doing prior helped that?
What things helped that?
Social media and touring and everything.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was touring. I think a lot of it was being so flat ass broke that you put your last dime into these recordings and you got nothing to lose, so why not put it out, you know? I think that's what a lot of it was. And also I think too, it was just interesting, like at the time that like some of the first stuff came out, that whole like Western space and that little more, you know, cowboy hat, the ball cap scene, I don't know that it was really there wasn't a whole lot of like representation there, and I thought that was kind of like my lane and my way to get back into things and or to you know put my spot there, and that was just the big I think that was the big motivator, was like I know the people that I want to play for and the crowd that I'm trying to entertain, so here's something for them.
And it's like what you said earlier, it's finding where you fit, because I think genre
Yeah.
is such a wide thing now. It's, you can't really put anyone into pockets of genre these days, because there's
No.
so much fluidity. But as you say, finding that space, do you think knowing that there was a gap in the market, so to speak, helped, like, because you had such success with your first few releases, and do
Yeah.
you think that helped that there was that gap?
Oh, I definitely think so. And I think it totally helped too, just like that was the crowd and crew of people that I was running around with at the time, and I think it all lined up very good timing on that stuff.
It's all about timing. And one thing I'd
Yes.
love to know is, as I say, you had such success going off like some of your first individual releases. Were you surprised at how many people listened, and how many people listened to your music and these independent songs that you'd put out?
Yeah, absolutely. I was. I mean, I think that just gave me the confidence of, you know, strapping down and doing more shows and staying on the road. That's what that all led to.
Yeah. And still, but still renting a house.
Yeah, for some reason.
But for some reason, we don't know. But it's such a, again, with the world of streaming and all these things that have changed so much in the last probably 2 decades, your music may not have gotten as far as it now has. Have you noticed, like, going out, and I know we mentioned at the beginning and how your shows have evolved, but perhaps when you are opening up for people and doing these other areas and locations that you've never been before, when did you start to notice a change in perhaps the amount of people that knew your music?
I mean, I think that's kind of always changing. That's the goal anyways, is to kind of keep that ever flowing, you know, just keep that growing and rolling in that regard. But I think like the last like couple of years has definitely been a little bit of a jump in, you know, it doesn't matter if we're in Columbus, Ohio, or San Angelo, Texas, or Folsom, California. I mean, it's all over the place, and that's kind of a cool feeling. It's just, I don't know, it lets you know that the seeds are there and you just got to go hit those places more and more.
Is there anywhere that you have played perhaps a few years ago and you've visited back since, maybe the same venue or the same location, and it was a real like, oh my gosh, this is how much we've grown?
Yeah.
Is there like a
Yeah, I mean,
station?
this last November, December, and January, we played the same 5, 6 places in Texas. Just each month we kind of went back and hit the same 5, 6 date run, and by the end of that I think we sold most of the last ones out, so like you could watch the growth of it from, you know, November to January, which was cool. I think
Yeah.
it's just the consistency of staying on the road and keeping those people entertained and keep them coming back. They all bring some people, they tell some friends, and the whole thing rolls from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to mention, because obviously the last year you've released a lot of music in the last year, and I know you say the goal is to keep growing, but has it been like, how's it been knowing that you've got more fans, you're releasing this music, and actually they're now probably like ready to hear your new music? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're
Yeah.
maybe just learning you, and now they're like, right, where's the new music? Has that been really encouraging, going and seeing all of that?
Totally. Totally. I think the songwriter in me is all about just keep releasing music. I think that's how people, you know, that's how this business grows. It's just the consistency of that. And then knowing that there is an anticipation and a crowd for it is just, that's the cherry on top.
Absolutely. And for you probably don't know this, but this podcast started off as a real songwriters podcast. You know, we had a lot of people on
Yeah.
that have now amazingly developed into artists, but I love hearing the kind of nitty-gritty into a songwriter's process. And one thing I love to know is where do you write best? Because you've said obviously you are very rarely home, so
Yes.
always on the road, but is there a place, is it maybe a tour van or your home when you're on vacation? Where do you find that you write your best material?
I think that's tough. I mean, I think there's a lot of times where, you know, after the show, you're just drunk in a hotel room sitting there with your guitar and ideas pop up. Or, you know, I do have a very good community of writers and a lot of good friends here that I am always thinking of ideas and saving and pocketing for them, you know, just like waiting for the next time we write. So I do think that Nashville is a, I don't think there's a better place to write a country song than Nashville, Tennessee. I don't. I think the minds here are absolutely brilliant, and just the well is very deep, and it's also pretty inspiring to be around, in the sense of you don't want to be the guy at the bar that night saying, you know, when everyone's bragging about a good song they wrote, well, you want to have one too in your pocket. So there's just that kind of like push and drive, and just like a, it can be a very healthy competitive thing, but can also, you know, turn the other way on you too. But I think you just got to take it for the positives.
Yeah. What's the biggest shift you've noticed in your writing since kind of writing on your own and then moving to Nashville and, as you say, working with lots of other people that are in the same boat as you and successful writers? What's the biggest shift you've seen personally in your writing?
I think I've just learned to be a little more patient with it. It's not all just supposed to spill out and flow. I mean, there's definitely the songs that do, but it's okay to shoot at things and to question it. It's okay to write the whole damn song and then rewrite it again. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think too, just like sitting back and letting it kind of, you know, let the song write itself a little bit. I think there's just a lot of lessons that you can learn from people here. And yeah, it's just been a it's nice to go into a room when you are not the big fish, when you know that you have a lesson to learn from somebody else, and that only makes you better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you said that obviously it's such a good thing, but it can be a bad thing as well. Have there been times where you found maybe you've listened to someone because they are the quote unquote bigger fish, and then you've gone,
Yeah.
oh, actually, no, my idea's way better?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I also think that a good writer, if you're matching, if you're shooting ideas at each other, there shouldn't be any pride. Like, this has got to be the line just because it's my line. You know, I think that you surround yourself with people that weigh out ideas and the options, and that's what makes the good song.
Absolutely. And it's, collaboration is such a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
Most of the best songs in the world have been written by multiple people.
Totally.
I would love to know if there's, one writer in particular. I know you've worked with so many incredible people, but someone that you've really noticed kind of their impact on your writing over the last few years.
Yeah, my good buddy John Decius, him and I have wrote a lot of songs in the last couple of years. We lived in this little hippie commune of a writer house, if you will, and we just spent a lot of time together. And I think, yeah, he's one of my favorite co-writers here in town. And we started writing songs a couple of years ago. We lived in the same house together, and it's just cool to watch your friends do well in their arena of things too. I mean, that's, and he's a songwriter through and through, and to, you know, just getting a publishing deal a couple of years ago and then coming out with a number one is a pretty cool thing to watch.
It really is. And
Yeah.
was there ever a part of you that, because I know songwriting is such a huge part of what you do, was there ever a part of you that was kind of like, oh, I'm just going to go down the writing route? Or did you always, I know we've spoken about the kind of live show thing, I assume you always wanted the artist side as well.
I think selfishly I always wanted a bit, you know, the artist side, but truly my favorite thing in the absolute world is to go to a writing session, walk out with this song that we just made up out of thin air, and drive home and blast the hell out of it. That is my favorite thing in the world. It beats any show, any crowd. I love the creativity. And I mean, every other day I wake up and I'm like, damn, I think I'm just going to stay in Nashville and be a songwriter today. Like, you know, I actually don't want to drive 13 hours down the road for this show. You know, I think that life would look a lot different and probably a little healthier if I did do that, you know, chose that road. But I also don't think I have it in me to sit still. So,
Yeah. And I
yeah.
think Nashville is one of them places, probably one of the only places in the world where I think being a songwriter is just as, I want to say just as respected. That's probably the wrong word, but
I mean, it absolutely is. Yeah.
people in Nashville that are songwriters are kind of just as famous as a lot
Yeah.
of the artists themselves, aren't they?
Well, without that guy, you know, behind the curtain that was writing the songs, you wouldn't have the people out in front of you. So I think that they are very, everyone here is very thankful and appreciative of the songwriter.
Absolutely. And they're great. You can't
The
get better.
good artists anyways are, if
Yeah.
that makes sense.
No, and it's what it's really interesting, I find, is I know you said your parents are kind of real hardcore 90s fans. And I think as a fan of country music, if you look back, maybe like late 90s, early noughties, not a lot of people were writing their own music in
Yeah.
Nashville and in country music. And I find over the last probably decade, it's not many people are releasing other people's songs anymore. They're
Yeah.
collaborating and they're co-writing, but they're a songwriter on it. Have you noticed that when you're releasing music, are you always wanting to be a part of that writing process as well?
Yes, I think so for the majority of it. I mean, I think that's what I pride myself in is songwriting, but also I am not opposed to an outside song. If I have friends that are writing really great music, why wouldn't I entertain that as well? You know, I think that would, that only makes you want to write better, and it only makes your record stronger. So if they have something that matches the vibe and you can sing the hell out of it, well, why wouldn't you? You know?
You're right, why wouldn't you? I love that.
Yeah.
I want to quickly touch on, I know as we said, you released a lot of new music last year. One of them was a soundtrack for
Yeah.
Twisted. I think personally, and maybe this is living in the UK, but country music seems to have had such a resurgence of the last few years, and not many people would have assumed that a major blockbuster film would have a head-to-toe country music.
Country, yeah.
So it was such a big thing for all of country and country fans. I would love to know the kind of your version of the story as to how you ended up on that soundtrack.
Well, we were with Atlantic Records at the time, and our A&R guy, Ian Cripps, was putting that together, and then he was nice enough to reach out and said they needed a couple songs, so we sent a few options, and that's the one they picked. Which
Simple.
was cool to just be a part of the list and the people that are on it.
Yeah. It was, as I say, it's such an incredible thing for so many big country artists to be a part of it. And when you like, even the fact that you got to write multiple songs, were you happy with the one they picked? Were you glad they picked that one?
I think so. I was also a little sad that it wouldn't be on my record selfishly, but I was like, you know, this is a good company and group of people to be around for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you noticed the kind of surge in exposure? Because it's probably, again, one of these things that people that aren't country fans would have heard it because they would have, downloaded the soundtrack and seen the movie, etc. So did you notice a surge in listens or fans, or as you say, people coming to your shows and singing the song?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely helped people familiarize it. Just to have the, you know, your name on the flyers of, you know, the soundtrack and the list and all that. But yeah, I think that definitely was a help of people knowing New Loop in the set. You know,
Yeah.
it had a good look and a good light on it.
Yeah, I love that. And you obviously play it in the set, but all of your new music going forward, I know you've had a lot of EPs, you've obviously got the soundtrack. What's next for you? Are you even allowed to tell us? But what's the next year looking like for you in terms of new music and releases?
Yeah, I mean, we have 10 songs in our pocket right now that we're just kind of waiting to make a little game plan and probably putting those all out throughout the year, just dropping singles here and there and keeping in a consistent release and kind of people on the look for things, just to, you know, keep it all growing and rolling and yeah, releasing music and hitting the road.
I love that. And do you find it helps doing like releasing a singles and EPs? I know you obviously did like a part one and part two last year, which
Yeah.
because I think it kind of keeps people on the hook. They're like really ready for the second.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that for you guys, as a touring band, etc., that really works for you to release that way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I cannot tell you the last time I sat down and listened to a record like all the way through. I think that in this ADD world we live in, that nobody's got the time and the space for that. So I think that the easiest and most digestible way to release music now, especially somebody who's trying to grow listeners and just the fan base. I think it's, you know, one song at a time.
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, I'm a sucker for a head-to-toe record, but
Totally.
now, and I think especially as you say, when you're trying to discover someone new, you may not, it sounds weird, but you may not understand their vibe or their vision. So listening to
Yeah.
one may not work, but actually listening to so many of the songs really works out for you. Obviously, as you say, you're going to be out on the road a lot. We have to talk about the fact that in literally just a few short weeks, you are going to be coming over to Europe, to the UK for Country to Country Festival, which we're all very excited about.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, your first time in Europe, your first time in the UK?
Yeah, I'm actually getting a passport in like 2 days. I've never even done that yet.
That is great. And how cool that you are doing it as part of your job. This is
Yeah.
for you. You're of course going to C2C in Berlin and Rotterdam, and then you're coming over to London. Are you like, how are you feeling about it? Are you even, do you have any idea what it's going to be like?
I have no idea, honestly. Not a clue. And I think that's the exciting part about it. I'm not trying to think too much on it or plan too much. Just roll in and play the shows and see where the fun takes us.
Absolutely. And it's what I love about C2C, and particularly for someone like yourself, I know you're going to come and like in London, you've got quite a few different stages, is you kind of get to switch it up a bit. You get to do shows.
Yeah.
Have you thought much about set lists and what you're planning on doing? Or is that kind of, are you just going to go with the flow when you get here?
Yeah, I'm terrible at making a set list because if I make one, I won't play it.
Fair enough.
And honestly, usually a lot of the times if it's just me playing, I play a lot of the stuff that has harmonica and I don't take that thing off. I'm a one-trick pony.
So
So,
just
yeah,
anything
it's a lot of
can
that. Anything. We'll see what happens. Might be some old stuff, some new stuff, and something in between.
But what you'll notice, and it's so great, is you'll see the same, like what you were saying before about like the pockets of people. You'll see that over the weekend. You'll see
Yeah.
people following you around still.
Yeah.
But that's really cool because they'll get to see so many different sides of you. And obviously no one's gotten to see you live yet. I mean,
Yeah.
some people may have traveled, we don't know that, but ultimately this is probably going to be the first time you're meeting these fans.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of the trip is to go over there and plant some seeds so we can, come back over and play a couple headlining things here and there and, just trying to connect the dots a little bit.
Well, I for one am very much looking forward to getting to hear you live and seeing it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up as well, and we can
Yeah.
see what happened on the set list and what came
Yeah,
in,
that's right.
because that I'm very excited to see. But also, what's really great about it is there's so many other artists playing.
Yep.
Are you friendly with anyone else coming over? You ex anyone you're you've kind of seen and you're excited to maybe catch a bit of their set?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you always, I haven't even honestly looked at who all is going to be there. I think every time you go to a festival or anything like that, it's always a cool little reunion with people that you haven't seen in a while. That's kind of, especially in the music and everybody moving and shaking as much as they're doing, it's hard to catch up with people. And I think that's kind of the fun part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, apart from C2C, lots of other gigs and new music and live music coming up over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
Anything in particular you're really looking forward to?
I think we got some we're gonna have a pretty cool collaboration or two, and some of these songs that are coming up I think are a little more reminiscent of the first record, and I'm excited to get that sound back out there again.
Yeah, nice. I love
Yeah.
that. Collaboration. We're not after anything else yet.
Not yet.
Oh yeah.
I gotta get them on there first.
Well, I will let you go very shortly, but before I do, I have to ask you some quick fire questions that everyone that comes on the show gets asked. So
Perfect.
first ask you, are you able to name three songs that you wish you had written?
Oh, yeah, probably. Bad Liver and a Broken Heart by Hayes Carl. Obviously, The Dance, Garth Brooks. What a song. And then there's one called Hit by a Truck by my buddies John Decius and Aaron Ratier. It's pretty terrible and it's awesome.
I love that. We've had our show. We love his music. Big fan.
Yeah.
What about three albums that you could not live without?
Oh, that's tougher.
Which is an intriguing one now. You've said that you don't often listen to an album for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I would definitely say, the top one that I take a lot of lessons from is a buddy Keith Gaddis, his record with Big City Blues. That's a staple spin here. Terry Allen, Lubbock on Everything, pretty big into that. And Jerry Jeff Walker's Riding High. Yeah, little all over the place.
Get them though. I know, but a lot of people get stumped on that third one.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna ask you my final question, which we also use as a bit of a like manifesting, we'll tag them session. Three people that you have not yet worked with, where they can be producers, writers, artists that are kind of bucket list for you to work with in the future.
Ooh, that's tough. Well, I keep saying Hayes Carl, I'd love to get a write with him. He's one of the songwriting heroes. There's a producer in town, Charlie Handsome, that I'd love to work with, just to try and see what goes on there. And then I mean, obviously if I could sing anything with Kacey Musgraves, I'd lose my mind.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a. I can
Yeah.
also really hear the Charlie collaboration. That I
Yeah.
would be kind of wild, but
We've been trying to bug him, but one of these days it'll work.
I love that. Well, I look forward to hearing one of them collaborations.
Yeah.
But Tyler, it's been such a pleasure chatting. Thank you so very much. And I look
Yes, ma'am.
seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, ma'am. Excited.
It's very exciting. Good luck with all the new music and all the gigs, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having us.